In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord says to us today, many shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into the exterior darkness. These are the words of the gospel that greet us as we observe this week what is known as the Chair of Unity Octave, something we have observed for some time here at St. Mary's. I can remember our dear sister Rosemary, God rest her soul, being so delighted to find when these prayers were brought back to St. Mary's after so long a time when they were not being used. For this practice known as the Chair of Unity Octave was something that took birth in the early 20th century. And understood correctly, it is of great importance for our spiritual life and bears much fruit in our prayer life. I always insist on saying, along with our superiors, that we must be careful how we employ the term praying for the unity of the church. We do not pray for the church to be what it already is. The church is, by her very nature, by her divine constitution, one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. We are not praying that the Catholic religion may come together with other religions to form a new sort of unity. Far from it. Rather, as is clear from the prayer intentions during this week and the prayers which are added to the Mass every day, and the prayer that we recite at the end of Mass, we are not praying for the Church to be or become what she already is. We were praying rather for the return of our separated brethren to the fold, and that the gospel may come to those who do not yet know Christ. And thus may be fulfilled the words of our Lord today, which are nevertheless very haunting words, echoed by St. Paul. For St. Paul too tells us that so many who have never known the true faith will come in now and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This true faith, which once was reserved for a chosen people, has ever since the destruction of the temple and the end of the Old Testament become a religion for all people. For now, we do not worship by going to Jerusalem to one single temple, but rather to any temple which has been consecrated for the one true sacrifice. And such temples are to be found throughout the world. But even in the time of St. Paul, we are warned that just because this true faith has now been given to so many of every tribe and nation, and it seems that the once chosen people have been cast out because of their disobedience, this should not be any cause for boasting on the part of the Gentiles. For although they have been grafted on to the good tree, that branch too can just as easily wither, as St. Paul tells us in his epistle to the Romans. And this is the lesson which we are to retain today as we pray for true unity, that is, for the coming of all peoples to the true faith of Christ in his one true church. As we look upon all those who are visibly so far from our true faith, this should be by no means a cause for gloating on our part. Especially in our time, we are rather seeing a fulfillment of those haunting words of St. Paul, that those who have been brought in to this true faith, after now a very long time having passed, and with so many, indeed most of them now, having turned their back on the true faith, even though they learned it, this too will leave room now for the coming of new souls into the faith. And those who prided themselves on belonging to the one true church may now find that because of their negligence, their places are now taken by others. And so as we pray for this, especially today, for the coming of the true faith to all people, we also make an act of humility, realizing that the greatest way we can convert others is, as our Lord tells us in that very Sermon on the Mount, which is brought to us today, first of all, by self-amendment. We ourselves must resolve at the beginning of this new year of grace to live truly Catholic lives so that our light may shine before men, and thus they may glorify their Father who is in heaven. How can we ever expect other people ever to come into this faith if we bar them from it by scandal? Already, St. Paul in his time told his flock that the holy name was blasphemed among the Gentiles not because of themselves. No, already in his time because of Christians. And how could this be any less true today? If God is mocked among those who are visibly outside of the church, it is first of all because of the poor example of Catholics. Already then, at the beginning of this year, let us resolve to lead good Catholic lives, make good and simple resolutions for a strong prayer life every day. Resolve now to correct your dominant faults, to make true progress, and hold yourself accountable by regular confession. After this, yes, by all means, we must pray for our separated brethren and for all souls. And then, and only then in the last place, we find room sometimes to say things at appropriate times to those who are outside the fold. And with, fortified by good example and prayer, we may then trust that our words will have the desired effect. As we have believed, as our Lord says, so shall it be done. And so we pray then that His mercy may spread this day and every day to all those who do not yet know Him, so that all disunion may be put aside, and that all may soon acknowledge the true shepherd of the one true church, who is Christ our Lord. Amen.